So, if we start in Deuteronomy 1, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll read. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much just for the chance to come together. Thank you. It's just amazing to be together, God, just to sing to you, God, to pray to you, to hear the things that you are doing and all the events that you have planned for us to just grow in our faith, God, and to show our love for you. And likewise, those are ways you show our love for us, God. It's such a great life that you give us, God. And I pray that tonight we can really learn from your word and just deepen our faith, God. Please consume our hearts with zeal for you, God. May zeal for your house consume us, God. May we be mighty men and women that are strong in the faith, God. May we stand firm and really, really live out your ways, God, and proclaim your kingdom. God, I just thank you so much, God, and just pray for your word to be spoken the way that it's designed to be spoken, God. So please soften our hearts, take away all the distractions and all the things going on in our lives, and may we really just have soft hearts to want to know and learn more about you, God. Thanks so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Deuteronomy 1, we're going to start from chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read here, not as long as we read on Sunday, but we are going to read, for sure, the Bible. So starting in verse 1. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the desert, east of the Jordan, that is, in the Arabah opposite Soup, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and at Adria had defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, to Lebanon, come on, Sedek, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them.'" So we'll go ahead and stop right there and just kind of a little historical content. Israel is now east of the Jordan, okay, and God is kind of setting them up to go over into the promised land, but right now they are residing in the desert called Arabah, and it takes 11 days to get from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, and then the Arabah, or where they are kind of set up east of the Jordan, probably is like another 2 or 3 days, right? But what is Horeb, guys? Does anyone kind of know what Horeb? There's another name for Horeb, and Horeb is actually Mount Sinai, okay? But in Deuteronomy, they use the word Horeb quite a bit, and Mount Sinai is the mountain of God. That's what it means. So when you measure this 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, it's about it's a little over 300 miles, okay? Or not 300 miles, 300 kilometers, okay? And so Moses here says that it should take 11 days to travel that 300 kilometers. So it's about 27 kilometers a day to walk. You guys ever walk 27 kilometers in a day? I don't know. But about 27 kilometers a day, or about 16.7 miles. So in miles, it's about 183 miles to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. And so just to kind of give a little scale, Manchester from London is 196 miles, so 9-mile difference there. So they're walking that distance, London to Manchester, Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. That has 11-day journey, but how long has it taken them? Right now is the 40th year of the 11th month of the first day. And so, you know, in verse 6, Moses, he starts to expound on this law that they first received in Horeb. And now they're expanding on this law in the area of Araba, east of the Jordan River. So Moses, he starts telling Israel where the Lord would like them to go in verse 7. He talks about all these different places. He talks about the Negev and the Canaanites and Lebanon and the great river of the Euphrates and the western foothills. He talks about all these places that the Lord wants them to go to. And so this law Moses is expounding on, they've actually were given it, Israel was given it 40 years and 11 months earlier. Okay? And yet, they still had not gotten to this land that the Lord has swore that he would give them. So, they're meant to have this land and say, you know, if it took 11 days to get to Kadesh Barnea, and then another 3 or 4 days to get to where they are, the Araba, that's what? That's 14, 15 days. And so, they should have had the promised land in 14 or 15 days, but now it's been 40 years, and they still don't have it. It's been 40 years. So 40 years earlier, God tells them to go take it. They haven't taken it. You know, verses 6 and 7, it says, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites." You know, I like the NET translation. It says, "Get up now and resume your journey." But yet, instead of doing that, 40 years later, Israel, they're still hanging out, and now they're hanging out in the Araba. And so, as God calls Israel to a journey, I think tonight we want to go on a journey. I love the idea of a journey. Journeys are fun, you know. Student retreat, we're going to go on a journey. We're going to go to Hill Inn, and it's going to be great. But even, you know, I think of today and all the places I've been, it was a journey. And being here tonight, it's a journey to be here. So tonight, I want to take you on a journey. You know, and I hope that you feel like you're being taken on a journey through the scriptures. Because we all love journeys, you know, and because we get to see new things and meet new people and go new places. And it's just, a journey's fun. You don't know what's going to happen or what you're going to turn one corner and you're going to find something. You know, today I was going to Liverpool Street and I wanted to go a different way. And what did I find? I found a flying burrito restaurant. And I got excited. I was like, man, flying burrito. I love Mexican food. I got to try this place out. And then I saw two horses and the bobbies were on the horses. And I was like, man, you don't see that in the States. But they're walking down the street with double-decker buses walking, going right by. And I'm like, why are you on the street? Get off the street. But it was a journey. You know, I've seen things I hadn't seen before. And I was like, this is cool. I love a journey. So, you know, where are we going to start this journey? Well, we're going to actually start this journey in the desert. Because that's where Israel is they are hanging out in the Araba, in the desert, just as verse 1 says. That is where Israel is they are in the desert. So, that's my first point, is the desert. You know, when you think of the desert, what do you think about? Think about it being arid and being dry and being vast. Like so vast that it's just endless. Like it's such a large quantity that is all you see, is you just see desert. And it's hopeless and it's empty and it's not appealing whatsoever. And you're probably thirsty as well. But this is where Israel decided to hang out. This is where they're at. They're hanging out in the desert east of the Jordan. So what caused them to hang out there? Why would you want to hang out in a place that we just described? Why hang out in the desert? Well, I think uncertainty, for one, there's a lot of uncertainty. And there's also, this uncertainty created a lot of fear. And so if we go a little bit further into chapter 1, and we start in verse 26, it says, "But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us.' So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say, 'The people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky.' We even saw the Anakites there." And so there very much is this idea of fear, and this uncertainty is causing fear. And Israel says, we've lost heart. We have lost heart. So you lose heart and you decide to stay in the desert. You know, where have we been when we lose heart? You know, where are we when we lose heart? You know, it is the idea of losing heart, you know, where might we lose heart? Do we lose heart in the idea of, you know what, I need to pray to God every single day? Do we lose heart in that, you know, or is it simply, you know, reading your Bibles every day, letting God speak to you every day? Do you lose heart in that? You know, if you're not letting God speak to you by reading His Scriptures, by reading His Word, then you're probably losing heart in other areas of your life as well. And I think, you know, if you're not reading the Scriptures, then you're losing faith. Because what's Romans 10:17 say? It says, faith comes from what? From hearing the message. And so if we are losing heart in reading our Bibles every day, then we are losing opportunities in our faith. And we are not growing in our faith. And so the desert is not a good place to be. So I promise we'll get moving on our journey here. But we're in the desert right now. And so the desert's not a good place to be. It's actually a hard place to be, and it's actually a hard place to advance in the desert. But God says to advance, but why is the desert hard to advance? But think about how hard it would be to venture across the whole desert. Just the hopelessness that we talked about, and just there's nothing, there's no life. You can't tell when it ends. It's hard to venture across a desert. But Moses, here he is, calling Israel 40 years and 11 months later. Let's remember what God told us and let's go out of this hard place. And he's saying the time is now. Let's get up. Let's resume our journey. Let's go. Let's break camp. I like that. Let's break camp. Okay? So some of us, you know, have we stayed in the desert too long? You know, what are you advancing towards? Are you advancing towards a college degree? Or are you advancing to a life where Jesus is your hope? Or is that college degree your hope? You know, or where maybe you're advancing to a job, but you know what? Is this job causing you to lose sight of putting God's word into practice, you know? So is your hope driving you to a job that causes fear, or are you fearing God? And is that your fear? Because you're not concerned about the job. It's great you have the job, and I'm saying go have college degrees as well. I'm not saying don't have college degrees, but are you getting a college degree because you're fearful and you got to be like everybody else? I want to have a good job so I can just be like everybody else. So what's advancing you? Is it the world that's advancing you? Or is it the Bible? Is it the Scriptures that are advancing you? And so, you know, I want to share a story about a sister in Virginia that I knew. We used to be in the singles ministry together. And the reason I say we used to be is because she actually passed away like 3 or 4 years ago. But it was a great victory because she feared God. She feared God. But let me just tell you about her. Her name was Candy. And she became a Christian. And she became a Christian up in Washington, D.C., and she was really fighting and living for faith and living for God. But then she started having issues with, she had such a damaged life before she became a Christian that her health got bad. And she started to have kind of kidney issues and kidney failures, and she walked away and she kind of lost all hope. And she lost so much hope that she, even though she was having these issues with her kidneys and stuff like that, she got back into that stuff, you know, whether it was drugs or whatever it was, but she got back into that really tough, kind of hopeless, dark life, right? But Candy, she came back, you know, she came back, she studied the Bible again, she learned about God and what it is to fear God, and I remember like a month before she passed, we were in the same ministry, we had the same Bible talk, we had to go pick her up and it was so fun to pick her up. It was so good for our hearts to go get her. She had a wheelchair, but we had to go get her, and we would put the wheelchair up to the door, and then we'd get her up into the truck, and then we'd take the wheelchair to the back, and it was heavy. And I remember Mike and I would pick that thing up and put it in the truck, and we'd go to church. But it was such a great way to serve her. But I remember once her just saying about a month before she passed, like, I'm fearful because I feel like I'm getting the same attitude I had when I left, when I said, and when I didn't fear God. And she's like, All I want to do is the day I die, I'm fearing God, and I don't care what else I have to do. I don't care about my illnesses. I don't care about my kidneys and dialysis. And you know, she didn't fear a life without a kidney. She didn't even fear death. But what she did fear, she feared a life without God. And I totally appreciate that about her, and I will always remember her for that. But what is it you're fearing? Are you fearing God, or are you fearing other things that's keeping you in the desert and not advancing you forward? You know, why had Israel lost heart? Because they, look at what they're doing. Our brothers have made us lose heart, is what verse 28 says. Our brothers have made us lose heart. So because they listen to other people instead of what God has to say, they lose heart. You know, but actually there was a good report of the land and a bad report. So they decide to listen to the bad report instead of the good report. And so where's the good report? Well, verse 25, taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yeah, and then, of course, the bad report in verse 28, but which one do they choose? They choose, I'm going to listen to the bad report. I'm going to listen to the bad one. See, they decide to let the bad lead instead of the good. Instead of going after what God swore to them, they decide, you know what? Let me take that. Let me stay in the desert some more. Let's take the bad over the good. You know, why would they do that? They've forgotten that all things that are good come from God. They had forgotten that all things that are good come from God. But yet, instead of taking the good, they take the bad. So how often are we like that, though? How often are we like that where we take the bad instead of the good? You know, I think how are we in our attitudes? You know, when things aren't going our way. You know, yesterday Lauren and I were printing out invites for an open house. And there were little errors here and there, and I wrote the invite like really in the morning, and it said, you know, we will have light refreshments and your company, was my last sentence. What does that mean? We will have light refreshments and your company? What does that mean? But I printed out 15 of these. And then I was like, what does that say? It sounds like we're going to eat our company. What in the world? And so then we had to change it, and then the date was wrong. And then my keyboard has this weird thing where sometimes it takes things out, and so you have to really pay attention to make sure. And then the month wasn't on there, so it was like, we had to print this out 4 different times, 15 of them. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what in the world? But then at the end of the day, it's paper. Like, it's okay. And so, am I looking at the good? Like, wow, we really want to have people at our house? And so we're gonna make the effort and, We're gonna have invites and let people come, or am I gonna take the bad and let it really affect me? You know, so we gotta remember that God gives us good things, that God is always good. And so, you know, how often are we like that, where we take the bad instead of the good? You know, we listen to others instead of investigating for ourselves, right? You know, we can be like that with Christianity, can't we? Where we take what other people say instead of investing it. And I think we for sure see that out in London where we talk to people and they say, well, Christianity is like this. And you know what? I hear it so much. When we just listen to people, we just listen to what people say. You know, I meet people every day who think nothing of Christianity. And I'll ask them, hey, what do you think about Christianity? What do you think about Jesus? And they say something. And I'm like, oh, where'd you read that at? And they're like, oh, I just heard someone say it. I'm like, so then I kind of ask, well, have you checked it out for yourself? Like, have you checked it out for yourself of what you've heard? Is it true? But so often that's what I hear is, oh, I heard this. Or, you know, I read some article. I read something on Wikipedia because it's very reliant, right? No, that thought doesn't even cross their mind to like, oh yeah, maybe I should invest it. I should look at it into myself. I should seek out the source and really see what is true. That thought doesn't even cross their mind. And It's kind of weird. It actually seems like a hard concept. Like, when people, why would I do that? Why would I investigate for myself? But yet the world today finds it hard to go to the source, to go and seek out the truth. So why is it that these days we don't want to go to the source? Why don't we want to go to the source? Instead, we just hang out in the desert. You know, the whole world is like this. We want it to be easy, and if there's a sense that things are hard, we kind of, I don't know, you know, but we want what is easy, and if something's hard, it's hard to advance. It's hard to advance, but like I said before, it's hard to advance in the desert because it's so hopeless, and it's arid, and there's not life there. So we just take the easy way, but where is the fun in that? Where is the fun in taking the easy way? Huh? Where's the fun in that? Think of all the fun things you've accomplished. And you've accomplished things because why? It wasn't because they were easy. When you've accomplished something, you've accomplished it because it was hard. You know, whether it's a college degree, whether it's, I don't know, building a car or knitting a blanket or, you know, when you finish a project, it's, wow, I did this. Look at what I did. And it was hard, but it was fun and it was worth it. So, no, they weren't easy. Those things weren't easy, the things you've accomplished, but man, you were having fun doing them. There's a lot of great joy in doing them. You know, I appreciate something I really appreciate about the foundation that Lauren and I set for our wedding. You know, was, you know, we wanted to have a big celebration. You know, we wanted to have lots of people come, and we wanted to share it with our friends and our family and just have a great time. But something we had to do was we had to be really disciplined with our finances. We didn't have a lot of our families couldn't contribute much to our wedding, but we wanted it to be a special time. So, but it was hard, you know. Every month I have to save this much, and it was really tight. And I was like, man, I'm like eating bread and I'm eating noodles, and you know, but it was so worth it because when the wedding day came, what happened? Man, what great joy. It was so worth to really put in the time, save the money, and spend that day with so many people that we care and love. And it was a great joy to, it was hard, but man, it was so worth it. It was a great accomplishment, and it showed a lot of discipline, but we wanted to do it because it might be hard, but man, it'd be so much joy. So, but you know what? I think it's, do we take the easy way because it's what others say, you know, or do we go to the source? I think when talking about our wedding, you know, people have been like, that just sounds too difficult. Why just have a smaller wedding? Just have it in a park. Like, just get some veggies and fruits and, you know, don't worry about having a meal. Like, just, why make it so difficult? No, this is important. We want to be something special. So, you know what? We can't always listen to what other people say. You know, we gotta go to the source. I think we can all be that way, can't we, as people, where we don't necessarily look and go to the source and investigate, but we just kind of, okay, that's what they said, that'll be my truth. You know, and I think that is dangerous, that we cannot be that way, but I think we can all be that way quite a bit. So, I'm sorry, So is there times where someone says something and you're like, well, this person said that, so it must be true, right? Because they said it. And I respect them and they seem like a good person, so it must be true. But how often do we go to the source for direction, for clarity, for the truth? You know, and how often do we let the source, the Bible, God, lead our lives? You know, thinking of who I listen to, the people I listen to the most, you know who the worst person is I listen to the most? At least for me, the worst person I listen to is myself. I am the worst person that I listen to. I listen to myself. How often do you listen to yourself instead of God? You know? I can think time and time again how I've listened to myself, you know, especially getting up in the morning. No, just a little more sleep. Just a little more slumber. I've got time. I've got plenty of time. I can get all the things done I need to get done. Just a little bit more. I'm listening to myself, and what happens? what happens is then I don't have time. And then my days rush from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. It's just rush, 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 rush. And it's like that because I've listened to myself. You know, I think, you know, then I become impatient with everyone I talk to. And I haven't a clue as to what I'm even doing or what I even did by the end of the day because it's just been a mad rush. But it all started with the very beginning of the day where I listened to myself instead of looking at Jesus' example and how he got up early and how he spent time with God, you know? All because I listened to myself, you know, that I've got a little more time to sleep. I've got a little more time and that's how my day ends up. You know, I've got time, but do I make time for the source? Do I make time for the source? Because if I don't make time for the source, I'm going to stay in the desert. You know, so the source is my guide, and because the source is my guide, I advance. You know, so when God says in verse 7, break camp and advance, he's sending his people out to advance in a purposeful way, right? It's a purposeful way with direction, with a plan, I am moving forward, right? Because he gives direction. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to this land. Go in advance. It is a moving forward with purpose. And to get out of the desert, we've got to move forward with purpose. We've got to make decision. We've got to trust God and move forward with purpose. And that's my second point is moving forward. You know, moving forward, it's much more fun than moving backward, isn't it?
Amen.
I think if we think about it physically, we do it every day. We move forward, don't we? And I mean, kind of imagine if we actually moved around London all day backwards. Going on the tube backwards, mind the gap. Okay, where's it at? Going up the lifts, going up the escalators, going through, I gotta get my Oyster card out and tap the thing and oh, the gate's open. I mean, it would be, going on a bus. I mean, imagine physically walking backwards. That would be hard. That would not be fun at all. Moving forward is way, way easier. We do it every day. But we don't do that with our spiritual lives every day. I don't think we move forward every day with our spiritual lives. I think sometimes we like to move backwards. You know, where we stay in one place for too long, like Israel did, and that's what God says. He says in verse 6, you have stayed long enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to move forward. You know, so what is it that causes us to move backwards? What is it that causes us as the central region? What is it that causes us as individuals to move backward? You know, I think one thing for sure is failure. Failure is a huge thing for us as disciples that causes us to move backwards. And what is our failure? Well, it's sin. You know, I think sin causes us to move backwards. And the thing with that is that's actually Satan's scheme. It's Satan's scheme. He's like, let him sit it up. Let's throw lies every which way. Actually, let's throw lies through their thinking. Let's let them believe the lies, you know, and then they won't move forward, but they'll actually move backwards. But that's actually kind of the wrong mindset to have about sin. You know, if we think we should feel like a failure because of our sin, but really seeing our sin, what should it do? It should move us forward. It should move us forward to God. It should move us forward to Jesus. It should move us forward to the source, to the Bible. Does your sin do that? Or are you so consumed with I failed that you stay stuck in the desert and you actually move backwards?
Preach it.
You know, but we need to move forward. We need to move forward towards heaven. You know, Philippians 3, this is Paul. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What does Paul say here? He says, I press on. I strain towards. I forgetting what is behind. You know, you've got to forget in order to advance.
Yeah.
You've got to forget in order to advance. And I do think it is important to reflect on your sin. Don't sit there and reflect on it too long. Learn from it and move forward. Move forward. You know, don't forget your sin, but use it to prompt you towards Jesus. Not away from Him. Not away from Him. But do we let our sin cause us to move away from Jesus? But does your sin cause you to move forward and advance and go to Jesus, or does it cause you to move backwards? Is your sin, your failures, causing you to be stuck in the desert and not advance? And because you're not advancing, you're not being purposeful.
Yeah.
You're not being purposeful. Don't be fooled. I think, yeah, don't be fooled by advancing in the world's eyes either, you know. I think the world is very good at deceiving how we should advance. Mm-hmm. You know, look at this promotion I got, and oh, the boss is patting me on the back, and oh, they want me to pick up this project and that project, and so now instead of working 9 to 5, now you're working 9 to 9, or now you're working 9 to 11 o'clock at night because you're advancing, right?
Right.
But how's your spiritual advancement? How's that going? You know, or oh man, there's this society at school and there's that society at school, and I know there's this show on TV I really like, Downton Abbey, which I haven't even watched yet, but I heard it's really good. You know? And now there's all these football games I can watch because I love football. And it's on all the time in this country, and I could watch it all the time. I could just watch football. I could just get consumed by it. And oh, I'm advancing in my football stats. Like, I know who has the most goals, and I know who's winning. And oh, wow, I'm really advancing, aren't I? Look how much my knowledge is growing, right? I'm able to talk to people now about football. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled in the way the world looks at advancing. Whether it's jobs, whether it's degrees, whether it's doing all these other things that make you look at it. I think, you know, internships are good and do things and build your resume and those things are great, but are you advancing spiritually? Don't just advance in the ways of the world. Are you advancing in God's eyes? You know, there's a great movie that I love, and it's a movie called Meet the Robinsons. It's a Disney movie. You guys ever watch that? It's a great, great movie, and there's this orphan that's a genius, and he is he's like an inventor, and he invents things, but he's an orphan, and he can't find a family that just really appreciates him for him. And he gets so caught up in all his inventions, and he makes a mess because he's got stuff all over the place, but then. Now, bear in mind, it's an animated movie. It's not real, but there's some future time machine type stuff. So,
wow. So
what happens is some boy comes from the future to get him because in the future this orphan boy is actually a great inventor that has really helped the world. But there's an issue in the future, and they need him. They need this boy to come help because this boy in the future invents this time machine. Right, but the time machine has been stolen. And so that's going to affect the whole time travel and all that stuff, right? And so this boy that actually comes back to get the orphan, the orphan's name is Lewis, who is the great inventor, and the boy that comes back to get him is actually his son from the future. And his son is Wilbur. But obviously it's time, so you can't like say who you are or anything like that. So his son convinces him to go to the future, right? And I just kind of want to... One of the time, there's like 3 time machines, and one of them's broken. And so that's why the son went back to get him, is to bring him back so he could fix the time machine, because Wilbur, the son, doesn't want his present-day dad to know that it's broken, right? So let me go back and get my father from the past as a boy to bring him to fix it, because he's the only one that can fix it, right? And so now they're in the future. And so this is Lewis, the inventor, as a boy, and Wilbur interacting. And so he's about to try and fix this time machine. And this is what the young inventor Lewis says. He says, "I don't even know what I'm doing." And Wilbur, the son, says, "Keep moving forward." The inventor, "I mean, this stuff is way too advanced for me." The son, "Keep moving forward." "And what if I can't fix this? What are we going to do?" "Keep moving forward." "Why do you keep saying that? Don't just say keep moving forward." And the son says, "It's my dad's motto." Well, why would this motto be keep moving forward? It's what he does. That's what he says. That's what he does. And so, you know, when you read between the lines of this conversation, Lewis, the young inventor, is, you know, what if I fail? Then what? What will happen next? What if? I can't do this. It's too advanced for me. I don't know what I'm doing. That's the young inventor and the son. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And you know, and then there's this other great scene that I love. I love this scene so much. And it's, they're at the dinner table. And so because the main character is this inventor, it's like this family of all these inventions, right? And they're all at the dinner table and none of them know that he's actually the inventor as a young boy. None of them know. They've kind of covered, there's a little cover up and everything. And so something's broken at the dinner table, one of the inventions. And it's actually this invention that makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a peanut butter and jam sandwich, like really quick, right? And actually the boy invented that as a young person, and now he's seeing it in the future as it's working. But in the past, it wasn't working, and now it is working. And so I'm going to pick it up here. Is everything all right? We're just experiencing bugs, just what the doctor ordered. Well, my friend Lewis, the young inventor, he's an inventor. He can fix it. Wilbur, you know I can't. That's what Lewis is saying, the young inventor. And Wilbur, the son, says, come on, give it a try. And Lewis, you don't understand what's at, it's Wilbur. He says, you don't understand what's at stake here. Uncle Joe's seen the toast. We're past the point of no return. If he doesn't get PB&J, we all pay. And then the young inventor says, I don't know. And then they say, you would really be helping us out, Lewis, if you would just help us. Please help Uncle Joe fix the machine so he can have his PB&J. And so 5 minutes later, so Mr. Fix-It, how's it going? Oh, pretty good, Mrs. Robinson. Now he's actually talking to his mom in the future, or actually it's his wife, but they don't know that. So, here's the young inventor, Lewis. I've recalibrated the dispensing conduits and I've aligned the ejection mechanism. And so then 2 minutes later, okay, this should do it. It's so exciting. Let her rip, Lewis. Let's see how it works. Quickly. Uncle Joe can't hold it much longer. He needs his PB&J. Is everybody ready? Yeah, let's go. Is it going to work? And then all of a sudden you hear Lewis, oh no. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And the machine breaks and it doesn't work and the PB&J goes all over the place. And the first thing he hears after, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, the first thing that Lewis hears is, you failed. And what's the next thing is, and it was awesome. And then it says, exceptional, it was outstanding. It was outstanding. And then one person says, I've seen it better. And then they're like, what? From failing you learn, from success, not so much. From failing you learn, from success, not so much. And if I gave up every time I failed, this is the family talking to him, if I gave up every time I failed, I never would have made the meatball cannon. That's a whole other story to the movie. And I never would have made my fireproof pants. And you know, still working out the kinks, like my husband always says, keep moving forward. You know, and so they all get together and they say, I propose a toast to Lewis and his brilliant failure. May it lead to success in the future. You know, I told you today that we're going to go on a little adventure. We're going to go on a little journey. But a journey can't happen without moving forward. You know, moving forward, advancing like God calls Israel to advance, lets us experience new paths in life. It lets us experience things we would have never done before. Never done before. But we have to continue to advance. We have to continue to advance with purpose. We got to keep moving forward. So from the desert, you start to move forward. And when you start to move forward, what happens? Eliab talked about tonight, you get to see God. You get to see God. So what is holding you back from advancing? You know, what is preventing you from moving forward? Please look back at your sins. And learn from them. Learn from your sins, but learn to look back and then to move forward. You know, don't let the sins in your life cause you not to move forward or even think you aren't worthy of God. I think sometimes we can do that too, man, I've sinned. I'm not even worthy of God. And, you know, I've got all this sin in my life. I'm not worthy of God. I'm not worthy of even having Him in my life. And I think some people even, they don't, that's one thing they miss about Christianity, is that, oh, I've got to be this perfect person, and I can't be that, so Christianity is not for me, because God won't accept me because of this. And no, it's, they haven't gone to the source and seen how amazing God is. Because God says, no, you're totally worthy. And you can see it in this passage how worthy they are, because in fact Moses is telling Israel exactly how worthy they are. Because even in their fear and listening to the lies and not having faith and not advancing and not being purposeful and not moving forward and just hanging out in the desert for far too long, for 40 years, what has God been doing the whole time? Verses 29 through 31. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. You know, you see, God's been carrying them this whole time through rebellion, this whole time through their unfaithfulness, this whole time. God has been carrying them like a father carries a son. What a great image Moses paints here. What a great image he paints for Israel. That, you know what? You are worthy. Don't let your failures think you're not. Even in the time of being stagnant, of holding back and moving backwards and not being purposeful, God says, you know, I've carried you to this place. God hasn't given up. And do you realize that God has carried us to this place, to where we live today, that God has carried us. You know, whether it's City University, right, David? Yeah. Whether it's King College or UCL, or whether it's right here in Covent Garden, you know, London, England, the United Kingdom, Europe, Western Hemisphere, no, Oxford. God has carried you. God has carried you to this place. God's carried you, and don't forget that you have been carried. You know, my third point is, the promised land is not being a Christian. The promised land is heaven. And I think that we think being a Christian is the promised land. I think Israel kind of thought the same thing. Oh, we're God's people. This is so great. Why is this so hard, and why aren't we getting what we thought we'd get when we came through the Red Sea, and now here we are, and why aren't we getting this? You know, and I think Israel thinks this as well, that, man, we're God's people, this must be the promised land, but that it didn't get any better than what they had. But God was carrying them, and he was carrying them through. It wasn't easy for them, but God was carrying them through. You know, thinking about being a Christian as the promised land, it'll actually cause us to stay in the same place. It'll cause us to stay in the same place for a long time, because it's the promised land, right? And we don't move forward. We won't move forward. It'll cause us to not move at all. But really, what is ahead? You know, I think Paul, we talked about in Philippians 3, the prize, as Paul talks about, that is what moves us forward. And we do that by letting God carry us. You know, the promised land is heaven. You know, and so we've gotta let God carry us so that we're not in the desert. The desert is a hard place to get through, and it's easy to just camp out there and live a life of hopelessness, because it's just easy. There's no purpose. You don't have to think. You don't have to plan. You just do your thing and do whatever you want in the desert. I don't know what you can do in the desert. You can pretend there's a body of water over there, and you go over there to get some. It's not there. That doesn't sound like fun. It doesn't sound like fun at all. But realize that it's not what God wants for our lives. He does not want us to stay in the desert. You know, he wants us to go up in advance. You know, he wants us to advance to Earl's Court. And he wants us to advance to the Canary Wharf. You know, he wants us to advance. He wants us to advance to the Barbican. You know, he wants us to advance to Old Street and to the Angel. And he wants us to that place too. You know, but we need to advance and letting our sin and our feebleness move us towards God. Not away from Him. We've got to let our failures move us to a greater faith. Not a place where we have less hope. You know, we have to realize that being a Christian is not the promised land, but God wants us to take us there, and he wants us to take us there by carrying us, by getting us out of the desert and moving forward and letting him carry us as his sons and daughter to the promised land. He wants to carry us, and we need to let him carry us because we have all said that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Thanks for letting me share, guys.